The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Phone lines are open. You've got questions. We've got answers.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to The Line of Fire. Phone lines are open. I'm going to take questions on all subjects like I normally do on Friday. We've had some shows that have been pre-recorded, some critically important content we've been putting out, or just wall-to-wall teaching content, news commentary, so we haven't taken calls. But phone lines are wide open, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. I absolutely welcome calls that relate to recent content where I've talked about God's purposes for the Jewish people and how Jew and Gentile together in Jesus are equals and are one, or my commentary on the broader war of Israel against Hamas and some of the related issues of Jew hatred worldwide. Very happy to take calls on those subjects, clarify any questions that come up, address certain concerns that come up. I have been asked quite a few times if I plan to respond to Jeff Durbin on Apologia Radio, making comments about who a true Jew is or who real Israelites are and how Israel today fits in with prophetic promises. Jeff and I don't know each other well, but we are colleagues. I honor and respect him. He is very close with my dear friend, James White, Dr. White, and I reached out to both of them privately. Said I did have some concerns about the broadcast. One of my staff members, or actually was a colleague, gave detailed quotes and outlined for me the content of the show. Jeff is absolutely in the midst of some very critical prayer situations with some children in his family, etc., adopted babies. So he's super busy. Replied very graciously. So we may not be able to interact privately for some time, but in a spirit of camaraderie, not in the spirit of debate, not in the spirit of rebuke or anything like that, but in a spirit of camaraderie for the good of the body, I'm hoping actually to play some clips from his show and then to address them again, not to have a debate with some of us not present, but to address in a constructive way. I did have some interaction with folks involved with the cessationist movie. Let's just say it was not the most positive interaction, but there is a brother who it was involved with the cessationist movie, I believe, donated towards it, but was certainly involved in helping put it together or getting it going. A good brother. He and I have had some excellent private discussion about a good, formal, solid, full-length debate about the gifts of the Spirit for today. So I'll mention his name once we really lock things in, but a good brother, good spirit. So that's very, very positive as we move forward. Let's bring things together. Let's put them on the table. Let's do it in a way that glorifies the Lord. Also, I want to give you a quick update, and then we'll get to the phone shortly, on my participation in American Gospel 3. Some of you have no idea what American Gospel 3 is because you don't know about American Gospel 1 or 2. But American Gospel 1 and 2 were very, very widely watched documentaries put together by Brandon Kimber, a very sincere young Christian man, where he critiqued areas of real concern in the American Gospel, especially in contemporary charismatic circles, word of faith circles, etc. And I watched part of the first movie and said, excellent rebuke of certain things, it goes way too far on other things. Those who've watched it in detail said that that would be my conclusion of the whole. In any case, American Gospel 2, I didn't see any of that, or very, very little of that. And then Brandon reached out to me very graciously, well, it's like a year ago, I think almost a year ago, and said they're going to be doing American Gospel 3, and he'd like my participation, and he knows I'm one of the few charismatics that engages critics, so he wanted to ask me questions that critics would ask because he said he didn't want to put out Strange Fire 2.0. He wanted this to be a balanced critique where charismatics and non-charismatics could come together and critique charismania and extremes, concerns that we share together, etc. So I agreed to get involved right up front. I wasn't happy with the nature of questions that I was being asked. And he said, hey, these are the questions the critics ask. I said, fair enough. And with his assurance that this was going to be balanced in a particular way, I agreed to participate. We ended up filming about 4.5 hours of me answering questions directly. Then I think about 4 hours of dialogue with Doug Givett and Holly Pivick, the lead critics of so-called NAR. And then probably 3 hours or 3 hours plus, Dr. Sam Storms and I together dialoguing with Justin Peters and Jim Osman. As the series began to develop, this is a series of 10 or 12 episodes. When I saw what Brandon was putting out, I was very upset with some of the content. I said, you're maligning good people and misrepresenting things and using anecdotal illustrations. I could come up with any number of those. People have left almost every good church in America. You're going to have some people say how bad it was or the wrong things they learned there, etc. So I wasn't happy with the direction. Brandon and I went back and forth. He made great efforts as well, going back and forth with me on that and saying we could do this, we could do that. Ultimately, after some consultation with those close to me, I said, I can't give my name to that. I'm sorry. And the written agreement from day one, once before we filmed a single moment of content, was that if I wasn't satisfied with where things were going with my participation, they would do their best to edit accordingly. If that would not take place, then I would withdraw and they would accept that. So that's what happened. However, fear not, fear not. So I don't want my name attached in any way to AG3 because I feel what I've seen thus far, imbalanced, unfair, and maligning good people, what I was actually sent to look at thus far. That being said, by all means, I want much of the content I recorded to be available to everybody to see for free. So what we have gone back and forth on is the 4+ hours of questions that I'm being asked directly about revival, about charismatic things, about the gospel, that would be released free and unedited to the public. Hopefully they'll do it for free. That's their call. But unedited, so everyone will be able to see that, all my content, all my answers to these various questions, and the 3 hour plus dialogue, roughly 3 hours, Dr. Storms and I with Jim Osman and Justin Peters, that can be released in full. I'm hoping it'll be for free also, but that free, complete, full, unedited, 100%, we want that released to everyone to see. Brandon and I have not yet dialogued in depth about the interaction with Doug and Holly regarding so-called NARA, this boogeyman that's been created, this myth, this worldwide conspiratorial takeover Christian movement, as opposed to the real New Apostolic Reformation, which has issues I differ with, but that's a whole different animal. In any case, or let's just say one is something realistic that can be discussed, the other is this boogeyman that's been blown all out of proportion. In any case, we haven't discussed that in depth, but he has my written permission. It's clear. It's done. He has it. He can release it tomorrow if he wants. He's got a ton of editing. He's not going to be able to. So I have deep differences with the way things happened. I feel that the way things were presented to me were misleading. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been part of it from the start. Brandon's perspective is that he was forthright from the start and that I may have misunderstood the intention, but he's never sought to deceive or mislead. So I 100% take him at his word that he did not intend to mislead me or deceive me. He said that emphatically. He's sincere about it. So I take him at his word that he did not intend to deceive or mislead. I can simply say for me and some of the others participating, what we agreed to participate in is different than the product that we were seeing coming out. And I've seen that consistently since the first version of the trailer that shocked me. I've written to him plenty and said, this is Strange Fire 2.0 on steroids. So in any case, I trust his sincerity. Let's say there was misunderstanding, and we'll leave it there. I will not make an accusation I was intentionally misled or deceived. I don't believe that was his intent. So we'll just leave it there. before the Lord. That's what happened. And I think it's good for you to know all the facts. But the deal is, over 7 hours of content that we recorded, including the really important, very candid, open dialogue, respectful dialogue with Justin Peters, Jim Osmond, Dr. Storms, and me. We've said, hey, release that. All parties involved have said, release that in full, unedited. So God willing, that will get out. Okay, one last thing, and then we go to the phones. I'll often see posts about Christians and Jews. I'll often see posts saying, well, Jews hate Christians. Jews hate Christians. And I wonder, where do people get that idea? Well, I saw in Israel Jews spitting at Christians. Okay, so there are fanatics in every religion and every faith. There are extremists in every religion and every faith. What you have to do, as one rabbi urged some years ago, don't compare the best of your faith with the worst of someone else's faith. Compare equally, honestly. How many wacko Christians are there? How many wacko atheists are there? How many wacko Muslims are there? How many wacko evangelicals are there? Catholics are there? Every group, all right? So the question is, what's the response of the larger group and what's the reality? The response of the larger group in Israel, for example, leading chief rabbi repudiating this and saying it is absolutely wrong. The prime minister himself of Israel repudiating this, saying it's wrong. And Israelis in general, in particular the government, realizing that the best friends they have in the world are evangelical Christians. Prime Minister Netanyahu saying some months back that the preaching of the gospel will never be banned in Israel, and having a respect for Christianity. And then just in America, okay, Dennis Prager, a friend of mine, Dennis Prager, one of the most prominent Jewish voices in America, a dear friend of Christians. Ben Shapiro, I'm just mentioning two of the biggest, best-known Jewish names in America. Do they hate Christians? Does your average American Jew hate Christians? No. In fact, I just did a poll out of curiosity on Twitter. In light of claims about different groups hating each other, if you're a Christian and live and work with Jewish people, what's your relationship? Very friendly, nothing unusual, hostile, them towards you, hostile, you towards them. So those who said they're Christians and live and work with Jewish people, 58.4% said their relationships were very friendly. 36.2% said nothing unusual, just like anybody else. 4.7 said hostile toward me, so less than 1 in 20 said the person was hostile toward them, Jewish people. And less than, well, let's see, so 0.08%, so barely 1 in 100 said that they were hostile towards Jews. These are just obviously people's personal opinions and experiences, but Jews and Christians work side by side in America, all over the world. So yes, you do have very religious Jews who believe that Christians hate them, have persecuted them through the centuries, and trace a straight line from the New Testament to the Holocaust. They can be hostile to Christianity. But your average Jew hating Christians? Where'd you get that from? It's not true. It's a myth. Goodbye to it. Your calls when we come back.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Trivita Wellness. I want to introduce our Trivita, Alfred Libby, original patented sublingual B12, B6, and folate formula. I had the wonderful opportunity of meeting Alfred Libby, a pioneer in vitamin research. I also had the opportunity to obtain the patented formula, and the rest is history, with over 50 million tablets being taken by our Trivita members through the years. The amazing testimonies of mental clarity, mood enhancement, and more energy have been thrilling to me as a founder of Trivita Wellness. Not only is it an amazing B12 product, but it is loaded with the essential B6 vitamin. I call it the workhorse vitamin. It is vital for strong immune function and every body system. Here's what the National Center for Biotechnology Information says, and I quote, "It plays a key role and is crucial to immune function. It is a molecule necessary for the proper functioning of the entire body system, and its role cannot be overestimated. Harvard Medical School of Health says folate is the natural form of vitamin B9, and it plays a key role in breaking down homocysteine, an amino acid that can exert harmful effects on the body when it is present in high amounts. I encourage you today to try the Trivita Libby B12, B6, and folate formula.
To order Alfred Libby's B12 for yourself, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire. Thanks to our co-sponsor, Trivita. If you haven't called for your free wellness consultation, the number you can call is 800-771-5584. If you're calling after normal hours, they're happy to call you back. And we appreciate the generosity of Trivita standing with us, donating generously to help us reach more people on the Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH. Let us start over in Texas. Ray, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown. For about two, and I don't know how, but about 2.5 months ago, all of a sudden, I started having intrusive thoughts. I don't know how it started, but I have feared them incredibly. So I want to know if you have any advice to get rid of them. Can they be forgiven? What do I do?
So, yeah, thanks for calling and asking such a personal question. Explain a little bit more depth what kind of thoughts these have been.
They've been not good thoughts about God, and I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I don't know how it started, but they just like develop, and I don't know if it's my own brain. I don't know if it's from the enemy. I don't know if I'm so scared that I keep doing it. I don't know.
Right. So okay, let me ask you this. Who is the person calling me with concern right now? Is this the real you?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. When you talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know where these are coming from, is that the real you?
Yes.
Okay. So the real you is concerned about attacks coming against your mind or random thoughts popping into your mind, which either have as their source spiritual forces. The Bible talks about the flaming darts of the evil one in Ephesians 6. So the enemy trying to attack our minds. They can be random thoughts from our own unrenewed brain, which we're still in these human bodies with an unrenewed brain that we are renewing through the gospel. They could be just part of the general worldly environment we're in. You know, just like if someone hears profanity all the time, that may replay in their minds. But what you have to do is not even give thought to the thoughts, meaning okay. It has nothing to do with you. The moment one of those thoughts hits, I wouldn't even respond to it. I wouldn't rebuke it. It's like swatting flies. I just praise the Lord. Lord, you're good. Your mercy endures. Okay. You don't believe this. Lord, I worship you. You hate God. Jesus, you're one. I would just praise, worship, and at a certain point, they'll just diminish and go away. To give place to them is to dignify them in a way that's completely wrong. And again, if the evil thoughts were who you were, then that's what you wouldn't be concerned. You'd be giving yourself over to that. So just rejoice, praise God.
Okay.
If you get bombarded as you're reading the word, just read it out loud and ignore it. And soon enough, those things will dissipate and disappear.
Okay. Well, another thing. When I read the word, I get scared. I'm in trouble. Like, right. I feel like God could be mad at me.
All right, mad at you because?
I'm having, like, negative thoughts.
Right, right, but the negative thoughts are not from you. Look, Paul in Romans 7 talks about what dwells in his flesh, and there's nothing good in it, Romans 7 and 8, and says that he's carnal, sold in his sin. So in our human nature, if we give place to that, that's fallen, that's evil. But God knows who you really are. And do you have any kids?
No, sir.
Not yet. Okay, or not at all. Okay, so, you know, if you're raising a child, then you realize sometimes, you know, it's a little baby and they're screaming and crying. It's like it's not them. They're teething or they're overtired or, you know, you get to know your kid well enough versus, all right, my child just did something really bad and has to be punished. So this is not who you are, and God knows who you are. If I can speak to you candidly and without question about these things, a trillion, billion, infinite times more, God can, and he knows you, so you take comfort in that. I would just read over and over passages about the goodness of God, the love of God. I would read passages like Psalm 103 out loud. I would read 1 John out loud, and I would just, with my mouth, confess what I know to be true, that God is good, that he loves us, that we're his children. Yeah, and that, again, don't give any place to these thoughts. They're not from your heart. They don't proceed from your innermost being in terms of who you are. They're either attacks and lies from the enemy or just remnants of our unrenewed mind, but that's not who we are. You know, it's just like a married man who loves his wife dearly, and some scantily clad, attractive young woman comes walking by, and he glances at her for a second, and maybe a thought comes in his mind, you really need to look at her, you want her. It's like, he doesn't want her. If he wanted her, he'd leave his wife and go with her. The fact that he looks away, and just like the fact that this bothers you is indicative that it's not who you really are. So, Lord, we thank you for your daughter. We just pray
for
your
holy confidence
in her life. Bathe her afresh with your love, and may she give no place, even for a split second, to the lies of the enemy. Hey, God bless you, Ray. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Doctor. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. 866-348-7884. We go to Roy in Helena, Montana. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
This a question in Jeremiah. It has been bugging me for months and months and months, and I'm sure you can give me clarity on it, but I'm not getting it at all. Where Jeremiah says, do not trust in these deceptive words. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Dude, I'm not getting it at all.
Right. For some reason, Roy, you're cutting in and out, but I did hear your question. It's about Jeremiah 7. Don't trust in these deceptive words, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these, probably meaning these buildings. What it was the people in Jerusalem thought, we're obviously okay, no matter what sin we're committing, the people of Jerusalem and Judah, no matter what sin we're committing, no matter what evil we're doing, hey, the temple is still standing. And that means God is in our midst. And if God is in our midst and the temple's standing, then he is with us. And God's saying, no, 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 the temple's about to be destroyed. God's presence is withdrawing because your sin is driving it away. And judgment is about to fall on you if you don't repent. And these very buildings are about to be destroyed. So all it is an example of the ongoing long-suffering and mercy of God, that he didn't wipe Israel out, Judah out, when they deserved to be wiped out, and that the temple was still standing. And yes, you know, it's almost like a church that has fallen away from the Lord in compromise. But they say, hey, look, we still have good attendance and good giving. Well, maybe for a little while. But once people really understand what's being taught and preached and the false doctrines and the dangerous deception, Then they're going to get out of there. And then soon enough, that building's going to be abandoned because you can't pay the rent or the mortgage. And before you know it, it's just going to be that empty building's going to be a sign of reproach. So they were putting their trust in the physical temple standing as if this was a sign of the favor of God and the presence of God in their midst. After all, the northern kingdom, they were exiled by God and there was destruction there. But the temple's still here. God's still preserving us. And Jeremiah's saying false hope, false assurance. And soon enough, even that is going to be destroyed in front of your eyes. All right. We'll get back and take more of your calls. I think we've got a line. Yeah, one line open, 866-348-7884 when we come back on the other side of this important announcement. Friends, thanks for standing with us. These are critical days. A colleague just emailed me and said, Mike, your voice is more needed than ever at this time. We're here for such a time as this. We're making a difference. And we're not going to back down. We're not going to shut down. We're not going to compromise. We're going to speak the truth in love. Hearts of compassion, backbones of steel. Come on, let's stand up together. Make a difference. We'll be right back. Hey friends, Dr. Michael Brown here. Do you remember when people thought I was crazy when I said it's not too late for America, that God can still do something in our country, that there is going to be a pushback, a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution? And do you remember when people thought that you were crazy because you felt the same way, because you believed what I was saying and already felt it in your heart? Well, friends, that pushback is here. The gospel-based moral and cultural revolution we've been talking about for 25 years is unfolding, and we are right in the thick of it. And the Line of Fire broadcast is divinely positioned for such a time as this. Friends, you would be so gratified and blessed as I hear, if you could hear what I hear, testimony after testimony as leaders, young people, old people, moms, dads, students, people from all backgrounds come up to me and say, Dr. Brown, you're providing a template for us. You're providing a blueprint for us. You're showing us how to do this, how to have hearts of compassion, backbones of steel. But friends, it's a joint effort. We do this together. And with your support, we can amplify this broadcast around the nation and amplify this voice to shake the nation. Join our support team today. Become a torchbearer with a dollar or more per day. Here's the number to call to sign up. 800-538-5275. That's 800-538-5275. Or go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and become a monthly supporter. Click on Donate Monthly Support. I want to immediately give you two classic books, Compassionate Father or Consuming Fire, Who is the God of the Old Testament, and Revolution, which will really show you what it means to be a Jesus follower today. Plus, you get free access to our online classes and so much more. Sign up today, askdrbrown.org.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Let us go over to Fort Worth, Texas, where I should be tomorrow for the Justice Run with Mercy Culture. Brian, you are on the Line of Fire.
Hey, how you doing,
Very
Dr.
Well,
Brown?
Thank you. Doing well.
Yeah, my question is, I've been hearing this a lot with Israel, everything going away. First of all, I'm shocked by all the hate that has surfaced for Israel. But my question is, I've heard a lot of people, a lot of Christians especially, saying almost like it's a replacement theology, like the modern Israel is not the same Israel from the Bible. There's like a politicized version of Israel now, and that's not what the Bible's talking about. So it's almost like they're saying we don't need to pray for Israel, which I don't believe is right. Now, I don't really know how to answer that because a lot of Israel is is politicized right now, but I don't think that diminishes their significance whatsoever. And then, you know, I guess kind of a two-part to that question is like three different religions came out of that area, out of one person, all claiming to be the right one. Now, I'm a Christian, so I believe in Jesus, but how is it that three different religions came out of one person, all claiming to be true, all from the same area? And I mean, like, let me answer the second question first.
The real question is who is Jesus, and is the New Testament true? The other question is really secondary. In other words, why from one region, or you know, it's just like asking, well, why did both Buddhism and Hinduism come out of India? It's an interesting question, but that's really not the issue. The issue is what is truth. And if Jesus, in fact, is the one who fulfills what was spoken and promised to Israel and the one who brings redemption to the entire world, then we would see that Judaism is the foundation but failed to embrace what God did through the Messiah, and that Islam is a subsequently formed religion that rejects in a different way what God did through the Messiah. As for the common roots, well, you could say it all came from Abraham, and he is the father of many nations in many different ways. So first and foremost, through the people of Israel and the millions that have come from there. Second, from all who believe in him, in Jesus, become spiritual children of Abraham. And then thirdly, even more widely, through Ishmael, that the Muslim world is descended from him. So it's just part of what God calling a man and everything that comes out of him in human development and in divine development. As for modern Israel today, of course, we've addressed this many, many times over the years, and I appreciate you raising it again. Old Testament Israel was political. In Israel in the days of Jesus was political. The fact that it's a political or politicized state in no way negates it from being the fulfillment of prophecy or part of what's written in Scripture. In other words, political Israel, well, Israel was always political. It was a kingdom. It was a nation. When God brought the Jewish people back to the land, they were under others politically, then they were free politically. So that has nothing to do with prophecy. The question is, are these, broadly speaking, the descendants of those whom God scattered 2,000 years ago, and then over the subsequent centuries? The answer is yes, of course. We know that. And these are Jewish people who, by and large, are not believers in Jesus. They are ultimately physical descendants with intermarriage along the way and conversion along the way, but physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the tribes of Israel. And if God scattered them, he's the one who brought them back. So you just have to ask people, does God mean what he says? When he says to these people, you say, who are the ones he scattered? Well, these people. Okay. He scattered them in his anger. He said, I will regather you in my mercy. Who are those people? The people he scattered, are they the ones he regathered? Yeah, well, how did he regather them? Just as he said, he scattered them, he regathered them. If you say, well, he scattered them in judgment, is going to regather them. He scattered them physically, he'll regather them spiritually. That's nonsense. It's making God into a double talker. Well, he scattered the Jews in his anger, he's going to regather the church in his mercy. Again, you're making the words completely devoid of meaning. Not only so, but if God scatters in his wrath, no one can regather. No one has the power to regather. The very fact that we have been regathered means that God has done it. And then you have to ask people, well, what does it say that in the Bible Jesus is coming back to Jerusalem? What does Jerusalem matter if there's no more Israel, if it's just some abstract city in the Middle East? And why does it say in Zechariah 12 and Zechariah 14 that all the nations will come against Israel and come against Jerusalem specifically? Because there's going to be worldwide hostility against Israel and the Jewish people, and then Yeshua will return and rescue them. So this is what's written. How have we been regathered if God didn't regather us? Why is Jesus coming back to Jerusalem if there's no significance to it? Why are all the nations going to gather against Israel? And why is there so much world hostility against Israel and the Jewish people right now, if not for this being the plan of God? So those are the different ways I'd address things. I really encourage you to check out some of our recent broadcasts and articles. So at AskDrBrown.org or on the app, ASKDR Brown Ministries. Friends, if you don't have the app, download it now. Ask Dr. Brown Ministries. Hey, Brian, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dr. Brown.
You are very welcome. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, all of you who have the app, the Ask Dr. Brown Ministries app, if you don't, download it now. I was just talking to two tier colleagues. Like, do you have the app, guys? A pastor I've spoken for many times supports our ministry, reads what I write, listens to the broadcast. He didn't have the app, so maybe you don't have it. Ask Dr. Brown Ministries. Download it now. All right, ASKDR Brown, one word, Ministries. When you get it, scroll down, and you'll see right there on the homepage of the app, it says, Consider This. And that's where we have our 5-6-minute animated videos, inspired by the PragerU type video, short video, animated. So go there and scroll down, consider this, and then you'll see a video, Is God a Zionist? Is God a Zionist? I think that'll be a real eye-opener. All right, let us go over to Bob in Maryland. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hey.
This is a nutrition and scripture question.
Yeah.
I believe I've heard you say that you avoid bread and dairy products. I may be mistaken about that.
Yeah, no dairy, no flour, no sugar. Yep.
Okay. Bread and milk or dairy seems to be spoken of very positively, consistently in the scripture. So I'm just wondering if you'd help me understand.
Yeah. So here's where I have to confess my weakness, Bob. My wife, Nancy, for many, many years, studied nutritional issues, read voraciously, listened to doctor after doctor, nutritionist after nutritionist, and then really locked in on the writings of Dr. Joel Fuhrman, F-U-H-R-M-A-N, Joel Fuhrman, who became very well known with the bestseller Eat to Live, and his books since then have been bestsellers. Joel Fuhrman, F-U-H-R-M-A-N. So I follow his guidelines. He emphasizes G-bombs, greens, beans, onions, mushrooms, berries, seeds, and no dairy, no flour, no sugar, very low sodium content, etc. Nancy really studied, understood the issues, and then said, okay, when I told her I had to make a change a little over 9 years ago, and she said, okay, you're going to eat this, you don't eat this. So I can't even tell you why I eat certain things and not other things because I haven't studied it a lot. So the best thing to do, rather than me giving you some lame answer, I'm just being totally straight with you, is search online, Dr. Fuhrman, F-U-H-R-M-A-N, and say, why no dairy, etc. All right? Any of the questions that you have. I mean, there are all kinds of issues about flour and white flour and issues like that. So I'll have things with sprouted grains. Some of the things have to do with differences in the way things are produced today versus in the biblical world, or quantities used, or things like that. But rather than be talking for 3 minutes as if I know what I'm talking about, better if you search there. If you still have a question, then you can shoot us a follow-up right to the website, and then we'll get you a direct response. I'll ask Nancy to weigh in. So Dr. Fuhrman, F-U-H-R-M-A-N, and ask, you know, why no dairy, why no bread? And I think you'll get some really clear answers, and then you can compare that to, you know, people talk about the Ezekiel diet and what did he actually eat, or, you know, Ezekiel bread. I use Ezekiel bread for buns, for a veggie burger, or things like that. So maybe that'll answer some of the questions. So I apologize for my ignorance on the nutritional end. I do live it out. I just can't answer the question. So let me know if you get the good data, okay?
It's working, right?
All right. Well, great. So, yeah, I was going to do my best to answer, and I thought it's going to be so lame. send them somewhere. People say to me, oh, how do you get carbs? This, it's like, what are carbs? I just, as to the exact extent that I live this out scrupulously in detail, conduct myself in a rigorous way to eat and live healthily with massive joy and benefit, it's to that equal extent that I don't know the nutritional data. All right, let's go to our buddy Jeff in Maryland. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, my beloved Dr. Mike Brown.
Hey.
And you know what? I'm not going to ask you any additional questions, even though I should. But I'm not going to incriminate myself. So I'm just going to relieve myself of that conversation. And I've been wanting to talk to you for a minute about what is happening in Israel, and maybe speak on a particular area of Romans that I don't know we really look that deeply at. And if we believe that 2 Timothy chapter 3 says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable to bring us reproof and correction for instruction and for the whole purpose of perfecting us. I mean, that we have what we need out of scripture. I go there because you have elaborated extensively on the 9th, 10th, and 11th chapters of Romans to help people to understand you cannot dismiss Israel from the plan of God. You cannot take it,
Jeff,
over.
You stay right there, and we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. 866-34-TRUTH. You can't resist us!
Are you experiencing fatigue, heart palpitations, or tingling in your hands and feet? These may be signs that you are deficient in vitamin B12, which may increase your risk of serious cardiovascular conditions without you even knowing it. I'm Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health and director of wellness services at Trivita, and I have some exciting news for you. Introducing Trivita's HCY Guard, the breakthrough sublingual B12 natural supplement scientifically formulated to support maximum absorption and support healthy levels of homocysteine. What is homocysteine, you may ask? Well, it's an amino acid that, when elevated, can cause damage to the lining of your arteries, which over time increases your overall risk for a cardiovascular event. Trivita's HCY Guard is highly absorbable because of its sublingual form and because of its methylated form of B12, which enhances its bioavailability, maximizing its crucial role in reducing unhealthy levels of homocysteine. And here's the best part. The B12 and other active ingredients in Trivita's HCY Guard support healthy energy production, brain function, nerve function, and enhancing your overall well-being. So if you're ready to take charge of your heart health and support your body's natural defenses against artery damage, then get your pack of Trivita's HCY Guard today.
To order HCY Guard for yourself or someone you care about, go to Trivita.com, spelled T-R-I-V-I-T-A, and use promo code BROWN25 for 25% off your order. Or call 1-800-771-5584. That's 1-800-771-5584.
These statements are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We have All right, friends, welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Back to my friend Pastor Jeff in Maryland. All right, so you're saying 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 indicate that all scripture is given for us by divine inspiration so we can be thoroughly equipped, so the man of God can be thoroughly equipped, teaching, preaching, leading. So you want to tie this in with God's promises to Israel and how Christians should stand with Israel today. So the floor is yours.
Yes, sir. So I go there because if we say that that scripture is true, all scripture is inspired, then we need to understand that, I think just before we got cut off, I was talking about how you've elaborated on chapters 9, chapters 10, chapter 11 out of Romans that Paul's admonition to us was you cannot separate Israel from the promises that God has made to them. So it was such a big deal to Paul, and there's a whole lot I'd love to say about that, but I want to get to this. If this is still the same inspired man, he comes into chapter 12, and he says one of the more favorite scriptures that every Christian uses, you know, I beseech thee, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But he starts out by saying, I am begging you, therefore, and we all heard this before, well, what is the therefore? Therefore is there because of the first 9, 10, 11 chapters that he has made his case. And he said, do you guys get this? So I'm begging you, do what you've got to do to bring yourself as a sacrifice to God and allow him to mature you, because you are important to bringing Israel into a revelation of who God is. You're the ones that God's going to be using to help provoke them. But if you are asleep and you think nothing of this, you are slowing down the process. I hate to sound so passionate, man, but I'm passionate about it.
Hey, Jeff, all right, so not just the obvious connection of through Israel's disobedience, the gospel now comes to the Gentiles. Now it's for the Gentiles to show mercy back on Israel, and that God has concluded all men, Jew, Gentile, all human beings in unbelief and sin, that he may have mercy on us all. So in light of these extreme mercies, present your body living sacrifice. But by presenting your body living sacrifice, Gentile Christians that Paul's addressed, you will now fulfill your mission to make Israel envious by walking in that supernatural love and power and reality of the Spirit.
Yes.
Got it. All right. Yeah. And I've never thought of that angle either. So that's a great point to consider.
See, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Mike. And I know I've got to go, but that is why do I have permission to take about 10 seconds to talk about why I wrote this book?
Yeah. So go ahead. Jeff Rogers, an old friend from Maryland. We've known each other and his family for many, many years. So what's the title of your new book?
The title is God's Love is Different, A Biblical Theology on the Love of God.
Okay, so here's what I want to ask you.
Yes.
As a Christian, as an African-American Christian,
yes,
how is it that God put the love that he put in your heart for Israel to the point that for many years your congregation met, your church met in a synagogue, and you shared
24
the building.
Years.
24 years. Yeah, and I spoke 24 there.
24
years. I mean, just utterly remarkable. And you did joint services. Your choir would sing.
Yes.
Their choir would sing. You did joint services with the rabbi in the synagogue, everybody knowing who you each were. I mean, it was one of the most remarkable things I ever saw. Remarkable for the synagogue, remarkable for you guys.
And some of the congregants would sneak to us and say, pray for us, because I heard that you pray for people that are sick. So they would sneak to be prayed for.
and that
kind of addressed that question that you raised earlier, that do the Jews hate us? Well, that's not our experience.
Yeah, exactly. So how was it in the Lord that this love for Israel and the Jewish people dropped in your heart?
Oh, man, the short story, it's all about the Holy Ghost. It's all about the Holy Spirit. I couldn't care less. I could not care less about other people. And then when I was filled with the Holy Ghost, when I submitted myself to give myself to the Lord and allow him to change me, I was filled with the Holy Ghost. And what I found out is that there was this immediate thing of love that flowed through me that I did not really make the connection until, sadly to say, just sad to say it, for 30 years, I never fully understood the dynamic of the love of God until I started looking into this subject 10 years ago and trying to understand it, because it was a revelation. I always, you know, everybody thinks, oh, I got this thing about the love of God on lockdown. Oh, I know about it. Well, I felt that way. And then God begins to give me this revelation about his love, and it's very different. And so it's because of that love that it would cause me to see the purposes of God greater than, if you will, my allegiance to black culture, African-American thought, and all the ways that we in the African-American community struggle to gain dignity by looking at our culture. But there's something greater than that. And that's the culture of the kingdom of God. That's the culture of heaven. So it's all about the love of God that you allow to dominate you. And then you begin to find yourself aligning with the mind of God, with the heart of God. So when it comes to Israel, there is no compromise on this, because it's part of the overall plan of God. And I've heard, just like you, I've heard all of the arguments of why black folks or think that they're in the new Israel, all the way to God doesn't care about Israel, all the way to the church is replacing Israel. All this stuff, man, it is bogus. It is not the mind of God. And God has laid out what we were supposed to be in terms of the people that could continue to move in the love that Jesus commanded us, to see past all of the carnality and all of the wrong things, and see this nation as a nation that God had made promises to the fathers. And the very least that we are to do, the very least, is to pray for them. That's the very least we're to do, man.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for sharing that. Thanks for your passion. And, you know, here's the thing that I don't get. Christians of all people on the earth understand mercy. Christians of all people on the earth understand grace. Christians of all people on the earth understand that we don't get what we deserve through the cross. We get the opposite of what we deserve, God's unmerited favor, God's riches at Christ's expense. And yet, when God wants to have mercy on Israel and the Jewish people, Christians get all worked up. It makes no sense. Hey, Jeff, thank you for the call. Much appreciated. Let us go over to Kathy in Wilmington, North Carolina. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you. Thank you. I have a question, a comment. First of all, I don't have my Bible with me because I have to stop on the side of the road. Isn't there a scripture that actually tells you what land God gave to the Jewish nation? It's actually written out. There's a section in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, that tells you exactly what land was given to them. Now, you can tell me, was that Gaza Strip, wasn't it part of that land, number one? Number two, peep that caller before the last gentleman, the young man, I think, was confused. I think we need to keep it simple. Please explain to everyone that Abraham had two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael was born out of wedlock. Sarah, who was Isaac's mother, he was the child.
Hey, tell you what,
of Thomas.
I don't want to be rude, but I'm gonna be out of time in a moment. So I'm sorry to jump in. Actually, Ishmael was not born out of wedlock, because Hagar was given as a wife to Abraham, at Sarah's request. But bottom line, one was born in the flesh, one was born in the spirit. So let's make that point that you would have made, right? So Ishmael, the religion of the flesh, that ends up being Islam, and through Isaac, the religion of the spirit, the Jewish people, then Jesus, the Messiah. But yeah, Genesis 15, there's a comprehensive description of what the Lamb would be. There are quite a few other descriptions in the Hebrew Bible, some more expansive than others. But yes, the most expansive, and then all of them would include Gaza. The most expansive would go down into Egypt, would go to the other side of the Jordan, etc. Those would be the most expansive in terms of the land that was promised. Israel never dwelt in all of it in history. And I don't believe we'll see all that happen until the Messiah returns and establishes his kingdom on the earth. But yes, this would have been part of the promised land, Gaza. And it doesn't mean Israel just take it over now, because Israel's only in the land by grace, not because of righteous repentance that God brought us back, but by grace and mercy. But yes, Gaza was absolutely part of the promised land for sure, as well as what we call the West Bank, that was Judea and Samaria. So God has the right to give it to whomever he wants, but as far as his promises, read Psalm 105, right? You'll see about 10 verses in, the most overwhelming repetition of God's purposes and promises. He's faithful. Salvation comes only through Jesus Yeshua for Jew and Gentile. And in him, Jew and Gentile are one. But his promises to Israel remain, because God keeps his word. Friends, you can trust him. You can trust God. You can't resist us.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.